Good morning, everyone. My name is Jack Dillon. I am a Life Scout here in Troop 477. And it's such a privilege to be here giving the sermon before all of you today. So thank you for being here on this fine morning. Now, a few weeks ago, I was volunteering over at Brook Run, beautiful park down the street, with an organization called Trees Atlanta. Now, Trees Atlanta, pretty self-explanatory. They're mainly focused on natural spaces, trees, planting. They do some weeding, some litter sort of stuff. And on this morning, we were planting trees for Brook Run Park. And so we were out there at 9 a.m. And here's the real kicker, is that when I went to bed on the 19th, the day before, it was 45 degrees outside. And when I woke up on the 20th to volunteer, it was 20 degrees. 20 degrees. So I get there, expecting it to be 45 degrees fully, just shivering. And they have the common courtesy to give us these nice warm beanies to keep our heads warm. So that's nice. I put on my beanie, but I don't know anybody there out of the probably 40, 50 people that were volunteering that morning. It was just me and my hat versus the world. And so they take us, we sort of shuffle in, big group, into this field full of trees sitting in pots, little plastic pots. And they divide us into groups, and they show us how we take the tree out, we loosen up the roots using one of the little hand claw tools, we dig our hole, we plant the tree, and sort of glossing over. It was a pretty in-depth process to make sure that this tree actually lives and grows for the park in years to come. And so my group, we get a nice little 6-foot tree, dig our hole, loosen up the roots, plant the tree, pour the water. Goes pretty well. Probably takes us 15, 20 minutes to get the whole thing done. And then we look over at the group that's right next to us, the group next door, and we see, first of all, we notice that they must have picked the biggest tree in the lot. It was like 12 feet tall, big, big tree. And we notice that they're still digging their hole. And it's been 30 minutes, 20 minutes. And so we go over and we're asking, why are you guys still digging? And they show us how they've actually hit this big brick in the middle of their hole. And they're supposed to plant the tree there. So at this point, they're committed. And they're like, we gotta dig up this brick so that we can plant our tree. We decide to help them out. My group does. So we grab our shovels, start digging along with them. And after we've uncovered about this much of the brick, 15 minutes more, we realize that this might not be a brick. This might be the foundation of some structure that used to be here in this field that is no longer there today. So we admit defeat, we put all the dirt back in the hole, smush it down so that we can pretend that we didn't just waste 30 minutes. We move a few feet over, and we dig another hole. Nice big hole because it's a big old tree. And right as we're about to put the tree in, a man walks over urgently. He has a Trees Atlanta name tag. And he walks over and he says, gentlemen, gentlemen, can't put the tree there. See, that's in the middle of the walkway that we're going to have in this grove. We're like, okay. Pick the tree up, put the dirt in, walk the tree. Did I say how it was a big tree? Pick up the tree, walk it over 20 feet, set it down, and we dig another hole. Right as we're about to put it in, another man, different man, same name tag, comes over and he says, guys, gotta loosen up the roots a lot more than that. And we grab our little 3-pronged claw tool and go to town on the roots. And a couple minutes in, the claw tool breaks. The claw tool breaks. It's welded together and it breaks. At this point, I am just thinking, why? I have been out here for an hour in the 20-degree heat, struggling with this tree. For what reason? I don't really go to Brook Run. I know I'm not going to walk that grove. I'm not going to breathe that air. why should I help a community when it won't directly benefit me? This reminds me of the story of Nehemiah. After the Babylonian exile in the 400s BC, this was a series of attacks and sieges that left Jerusalem really in ruins. The gates were burned, the walls were sort of left as rubble, and the great city was left in this horrible state. You hate to see it. And the people living there were just living in these ruins. And Nehemiah, he was the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes at this time. And when he heard about the situation, he cried. He wept. And then he prayed and asked God for guidance on what he should do, on how he could help. And then he went before the king, and he had a proposition. This is from Nehemiah 2. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, "Why does your face look sad if you are not ill? This can be nothing but a sadness of heart." I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. But why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven and answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city of Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I may rebuild it." And the king let him go. He sent him off, didn't have too much, just one mount that he rode on to get to Jerusalem. And when he got there, he examined these destroyed gates and walls, and he looked around and he saw the people that were living in this struggle. And he said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." He also told them about the gracious hand of God on his shoulder and what the king had said to him. And they replied, "Let us start rebuilding." And so they began this good work. Nehemiah, he found a calling. He found guidance. And in order to fulfill this calling, he risked his own sweat and his effort. He even risked his favor with the king to do what he knew was right by God and by his ancestors and by the people of Judah that were living there. And when he got there, this act of service, the spirit of service inspired them. It instilled in them that same spirit of service that Nehemiah felt. And they jumped right on in. All he did was explain that they could help. And they said, "Let's start building." It was as simple as that. Now, unfortunately, it was not as simple as that, because it wasn't quite so easy as just rebuilding. The people there, as they worked, they were mocked and insulted and ridiculed. They were told that these efforts were useless and futile, and that they should just go on home. But that didn't sway them. They weren't even swayed when they were physically threatened, when men showed up with spears and weapons, and they threatened their safety. What did the workers do? They just carried spears while they carried their bricks. They had some men stand in formation outside the walls, while other ones laid down the mortar to rebuild those same walls. When his hands shook from fear, Nehemiah prayed for God to strengthen his hands. This shows the strength and the determination and the commitment that we can all have if we reach up and receive it from God. Now, what I love about the story of Nehemiah is that it reflects light on so many things. It talks about service. It talks about staying committed. And it even goes into something that people call the tyranny of the urgent. This is sort of when you let your routine, your day-to-day, dictate your whole life. In short, it's when you let the urgent things push away the important things. Now, what do I mean by that? Urgent, important? Well, the urgent things, they're your routine. Your gotta wake, shave, shower, gotta get to work on time, gotta make sure my tie's straight, gotta make sure my shoes match, and all that. But the important things, they're a little deeper than that. They're your prayer, your service to others, your conversation with God, maybe your meditation or spiritual practice. And I'm not saying that you should show up to work a half hour late with your shoes mismatched and your tie crooked. Certainly not. Don't take me for saying that. But I think that we can all carve out a little part of our day for the important things, like Nehemiah did. You know, like I said, Nehemiah was the cupbearer. And while he was off in Jerusalem rebuilding these walls, king's gonna get thirsty. King's gonna want his cups, right? But Nehemiah was willing to take that risk and to push away the urgent for what he felt he was really called to do. Service is also a really important part of scouting as well. There are volunteering opportunities, such as later today, the scouts are going to Fiesta de Libros over at Plaza Fiesta. But there's also volunteering requirements, there's service requirements to move up in rank, say from life to eagle. But deeper than that, service is part of the mesh of scouting, part of the spirit of scouting. And you don't have to look very far to find it. Take, for example, the Boy Scout slogan, which is, do a good turn daily. And this can be anything. This could be holding open the door for someone. This could be helping someone cross the street. Anything, anytime that you take a part of your day to help someone else, to make their life easier. Another thing you might be thinking, do a good turn daily. Does that mean that the rest of the day I'm one and done, I can be a jerk for the rest of the day? Well, not quite. Hate to burst the bubble, because the Scout Oath tells us that we have to help other people at all times. We have to live a life full of service and devoted to others in our community and in our nation and to God. And if you're still curious about what Scouts think about service, the third point of the Scout Law is that a Scout is helpful. So there you go. Service really is a wonderful part of life. When you help someone out, you can really make their day. You can turn someone's day around and make them feel a whole lot better. And if you get enough people together, if you have a real calling like Nehemiah did, you can make a big difference. Service to God, that's how we reach real moral and spiritual well-being. And service even feels good to ourselves. You know, when you help someone out, you get that nice feeling, that warm feeling that I did good today. I helped someone today. Now, it isn't always easy. No one says it is. You might face resistance from others, like Nehemiah did. Hopefully nothing like threats, seriously, but people might say that you're doing too much, or I don't see why you put in all that effort. But you can ignore them, you can push them away, and you can find the commitment and find the strength from God to stay strong in your service. You might even find resistance from within yourself. You might have the tyranny of the urgent telling you that you don't have time to do that. You gotta go to work, gotta get dinner on the table, gotta get new clothes for the kids. Well, I'm not worrying about that one quite yet, but you can push away the urgent. We can all ignore the urgent for a little bit to find time to be important. I think this week we could all take a note from scouting and ask ourselves, have I done my good turn today? Thank you.